Loving God, we pray this day that as we meditate and think about your word, may you teach us those things that you want us to know and show us those things that you want us to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Many of you maybe know the paraphrase of the Bible called The Message. A man named Eugene Peterson is responsible for it. He was a pastor for 26 years at a church, but he was also a prolific writer and poet. And he tells the story that his 5-year-old grandson used to always come and jump up in his lap and ask him to beg him to tell a story. And he liked stories about trolls, which I really don't understand, but hey, a 5-year-old boy, nobody understands. So he's jumped up in Grandpa's lap and said, "Grandpa, tell me a story about a troll and put me in it." Kids like to be the center, right? They like to be the character in the story. Well, that is kind of what the book of Ephesians is. The Apostle Paul is writing a letter to this new church, this church in Ephesus, and he's retelling for them the story of God's salvation. And he's putting them right in the middle of it. For you see, you got to remember that in the early stages of after Jesus, after the resurrection, when the disciples and the apostles began sharing the faith, it was all within the Jewish community. They were just a different sect within Judaism. And it took a while for them to recognize that everything that Jesus did was not just for the Jews, but it was for all of humanity. So eventually they began reaching out to those people who were not Jewish. And Ephesus is in Asia Minor near Turkey. And so these people were definitely not Jewish. They came from different faiths. But because of people like Paul and other people who were ministering to them, they had an experience of God. They knew Jesus, but they weren't steeped in the story. It wasn't part of their tradition to have a Messiah coming. So what Paul does in this letter is tell them about the wonderful way that Jesus came in order that all humanity might know the love of God. And right in the middle of this book, we call it a book, it was basically just a long letter. And I challenge you, if you have time, sit down and read it all in one stretch. It's only 4 or 5 pages. It won't take you that long. But think about it in the way I just explained it, as a story of how Paul is telling the story of salvation and putting these people in the middle of it. Anyway, so right in chapter 3 that Roberta just read, he stops what he's saying. He's reminded them and told them the story of salvation. And he stops and he says, "I want to pray for you." Now he's not there. It's sort of a remote prayer, right? I mean, he's not there to say, "Let's all bow our heads." He's somewhere else, probably in Rome at this point. And he says to them, "But this is my prayer for you. And my prayer is this, that you will understand the love of God. And understand that it is that very love of God that you are growing into like the roots of a tree. That you're anchored in as a foundation so that when the wind blows, there's nothing that's going to pull you away from that." How many of you, okay, now for those of us who are a little bit older, we remember shopping in a mall. Now, I have to confess that I am an Amazon junkie and things get delivered to the church for me all the time because I can't stop buying things. I like books. I like other things. But for those of you that remember the mall, and those of you men who are married, remember that when your wife needed new clothes, you would dutifully go to the mall with her. And while she picked out what she wanted, you held it on your arm till it was time to try it on. Then she took everything off your arm and handed you her purse. And there were usually 2 or 3 chairs sitting outside the dressing rooms, and that's where you would find other men with other purses waiting on their wives to come out of the dressing room, right? I never did that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so one day I'm sitting at the store with my purse in the chair, and I'm watching all the other shoppers. And there's this young mom with a toddler. You know how toddlers strap to the leg, right? and he's just got a good grip. But mom is standing there at one of those round racks, and she's looking for something. And she's standing there for quite a bit of time. Now, so the toddler gets bored holding on to mom's leg because it's a new place for him. But once he's been there for, I don't know, 20 seconds, he's bored. And he decides to wander off just a little bit. But he keeps looking back. And as long as mom hadn't moved, he's fine. And he just wanders a bit off more, a bit off. He keeps looking back at mom. And finally he gets away. And it's been long enough that she hasn't moved that the new thing over here, the new shiny thing, is distracting him. And he begins to play with whatever it was he found on the floor. Then his mom starts inching her way around that clothes rack. So she can still see the little boy, but from his eye level, he can't see her. He looks up, and you should see the face of abject terror when he looked up and couldn't see his mom. I mean, this poor kid, his little face, you could see it, and in an instant, he went from happy to sad to scared out of his mind and loud. He got very loud. Well, of course, mom was watching, saw what was happening, and was quickly there to comfort him. But it reminded me of what it's like with God's love. God's love is our anchor. That's what Paul says. It's where we latch on and hold on. It's where our roots go down. So for us, we're like the toddler. We know where God's love is, but, you know, there are things of life, jobs, responsibilities, taking care of other people that cause us to move away a little bit from what we're comfortable in. As long as we can still see it, we're fine. And that's what Paul is trying to explain to the Ephesians, is that you can never really leave it. It may be outside your comfort zone, and the things you do sometimes may not turn out right. You may end up with a face like the two-year-old in abject terror because, oh my goodness, what choice I've made? What have I done? But that's okay. Because even if you have strayed a little bit from where the foundation of God's love was first shared with you, God's love is so wide and so deep, and the breadth is just, we can't imagine it. It is around us all the time. And so for all of us, that is the comfort we have. That there is nowhere we can go that we can escape God's love. And so even though we are like the toddler and move away from time to time, we still know where it is. But what happens when we do get away from that love too long, and from the thing that reminds us, that anchor of like a community of faith, where we not only have God's word to remind us of God's love, but we have other people who remind us that they love us and so does God. When we stray too far from that, then we can begin to lose our understanding of and our belief that that love is really that wide. This isn't the only time we hear about the church at Ephesus. Because Paul isn't the only pastor in the Bible who writes a letter to them. John, in the book of Revelation, wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus. And he compliments them on a lot of things. But he says to them, I have one complaint. Now, just so you know, Paul's letter was in the 60s, not the Peace, I Love You 60s, but the AD 60s. And John's letter was in about AD 95. So you're talking about 30, 35 years later, we get a second letter to this same church. So it's no longer a young fledgling church. It's a church that's seen at least one generation come through. And John says to this church, you're doing a lot of things really well, but I have one complaint. And that complaint is this: you don't love like you used to. That's why Paul had this prayer in his original letter, because this is a constant struggle with all of us. Because only when we remain grounded and anchored in God's love are we able to in turn love more. Because the farther we get out away from it, the farther it comes from our mind, the less we are able to love. That's the beauty of things like today, a worship service, a Sunday school. These are times when we re-anchor ourselves. God doesn't move, we do. And we re-anchor ourselves in God's love so that we can in turn continue to love. Now, as a congregation, we are beginning a new day. We're beginning a new program that we're calling a ministry for a new day. And that's what we're going to spend the month of February talking a lot about in our Sunday school classes. And ministry for a new day is about being who we are in a new way. Not changing a whole lot. Things like our preschool ministry have been around for 35 years. All we want to do is make it better. Things like our Sunday school have been around for over 40 years. All we want to do is do them better and enhance the way we do them. Because we want to make sure that everything we do is showing God's love in a great way. Because the ministries that this church does are not geared for self-promotion, like our preschool. Our efforts go so that these children learn the love of God. For many of them, it's the only time they get it. But if we can touch just one life, how much have we done? When the love of God spreads forth, the same with scouts, Sunday school, other ministries we do, the idea is to share that love. So, I am excited about our future and where we're going as a congregation. But there's one thing that we always have to make sure of, and that's that we keep the prayer that Paul taught the Ephesians, that we remain anchored in God, and not just in God, but in God's love. Because as Paul says in another place, faith is great, charity is great, but love is the greatest of all. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.